Is taken from Mark chapter 1, verses 32 to 39, and you'll find that on page 812 of your Red Pew Bibles. That evening, after sunset, the people brought to Jesus all the sick and demon-possessed. The whole town gathered at the door, and Jesus healed many who had various diseases. He also drove out many demons, but he would not let the demons speak because they knew who he was. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Simon and his companions went to look for him, and when they found him, they exclaimed, "Everyone is looking for you." Jesus replied, "Let us go somewhere else, to the nearby villages, so I can preach there also. This is why I have come." So he travelled throughout Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and driving out demons. Our second reading this morning is taken from Colossians chapter 1, verses 21 to 29. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behaviour, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. If you continue in your faith, established and firm, and do not move from the hope held out in the gospel, this is the gospel that you heard and that has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven, and of which I, Paul, have become a servant. Now I rejoice in what I am suffering for you, and I fill up in my flesh what is still lacking in regard to Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, which is the church. I have become its servant by the commission God gave me to present to you the word of God in its fullness, the mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the Lord's people. To them, God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. He is the one we proclaim, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone fully mature in Christ. To this end, I strenuously contend with all the energy Christ so powerfully works in me.
Thanks, Holly. Before we start, in some ways it's really good for me to be back. I love the January setup we have where I get to visit the other churches in a network, but there's something really special about coming home to the church that knows you, the church that I love and we've really enjoyed being part of. It's actually 3 years ago, almost to the day when Hayley and I first came down to this church, and we're very pleased to be here. We're pleased to commit again and sign a new contract to remain here because there's no else place we'd rather be. We love this community and we love being part of it. So thank you for the role you've played in that. If we haven't met, my name's Paul Kupke. I'm one of the pastors here at this church and we're very glad that you're here. I realise for visitors today looks a little bit different as Vision Sunday. Next week we get back into exegetical series when we start in Exodus, but today we think very carefully about the vision and the purpose of this church. And that requires us to think not so much just about the gospel, but how the gospel interacts our lives and how that compels us to work and be involved in the world around us. And so that'll be our focus today. Certainly our key verses in Colossians come straight out of the work of the gospel in Paul's life. But we're going to look at what that looks like as this church looks towards the new year. So if you want to hold both Colossians and Mark open, we'll touch on both of those and I'll start with a prayer. Father, we thank you that you're the sort of God who builds your church, who gathers all its different people from different parts of life and different histories and unites them to yourself in your Son. The beautiful truth of this gospel that welcomes broken people like us into your kingdom. Father, as we think today about the implications of that for us as a church, as we think about this year that's coming, please guide our hearts, please direct them towards your purposes for us, and please spur us on with the same energy you spurred Paul on, that we would powerfully work towards seeing people become fully mature in Christ. For your glory, we pray these things. Amen. So there's pages and pages on the internet dedicated to corporate business strategy and vision and mission setting. A couple of clicks on Google and you can find out why words are so important for your business and your bottom line and your performance. It sounds very impressive, doesn't it? Unless, of course, you're one of those who've experienced this stuff in the workplace before and found out that it is just that, words. That for all the talk of a vision setting, nothing actually changes on the ground or in terms of what you produce. And we start this year again with Vision Sunday as the summer holidays have been and gone in January, as school goes back this week. We stop and think again about what our purposes are as a church and think again about our vision and our mission. Now, as leaders of this church, we don't want that to be some corporate business strategy where it is just merely words. We hope that our vision captures us in such a way that it actually changes the way we live and the things that we seek to do. As this year rolls on, the calendar is going to flip to March and then to June and then to August and then to December. And we don't want to arrive at Christmas having been really busy and worked through this year, but having not actually had a purpose towards it. It would be a shame to use this year that God has given us and arrive at the end of it having not worked towards a particular purpose and likely not having much to show for it. In his book, Crazy Busy, Kevin DeYoung talks about one of the reasons why people feel so crazy busy is because they don't have clear personal priorities in their life. It's what causes our time to be soaked up and us to feel constricted with all the things that we think we should have to do. He suggests that people actually live with the following de facto priorities in their life. Number one, take care of the house. Number two, meet the next deadline. And number three, keep the people in your life relatively happy. It's not that we say that these are the things that we have as priorities. It's just when it comes to making decisions about what we actually do with our time, these are the things that seem to drive us. These are the things that make our life feel compressed and we don't have enough time to do the things we really want to be on about. Now put your hand up if you've experienced this at some stage. I don't think I'm alone on this. And that's one of the reasons why as a church we're going to think about busyness later on this year to help us work through this stuff. But it did get me thinking, if that sort of stuff happens in our personal lives, surely it's possible that that happens in churches as well. What are some of the de facto priorities that you see in the lives of churches? What are some of the pressures and the expectations we feel that actually stop us from doing the things we really want to be on about? Well, Kevin DeYoung had three, so I figured I'd come up with three as well. Number one, be ready for Sunday. Now, I catch myself on this, as perhaps especially at the moment. It's very easy to pick a date in the calendar, whether that's Easter or the next holiday, and just try and survive and make it through to then rolling through the weeks and just doing your thing. The problem with that sort of survival mode stuff is it actually stops us being about the things we really want to be on about. Number two, keep the people in the church relatively happy. Like it is in our own private lives, trying to keep everyone around us happy is a sponge that will soak up all of your time and continue to go back for more. It's not that it's a bad thing to have the people happy around us. And I'm actually really thankful that as a church, we're relatively happy. We love what we do and we enjoy each other's company. It's just that keeping people happy as a priority will trump everything else that you do, including the things the Bible expects us to be really on about. And then number three, and this might sound a bit surprising, love Jesus. Now, this is a great thing, and it's something worth aiming for. But often we don't have a really clear picture about what that looks like, so we don't know whether we're making any progress or not. And so we end up measuring it rather negatively. Am I thankful enough? Do I pray enough? Do I give enough? Or do I tell other people about Jesus enough? And the problem is, in a church this big, as you look around, you'll find someone who does all of those things better than you. And so you end up with this baseline level of guilt where you don't love Jesus enough. We'd have no positive expression for our love and joy in Jesus that we can see and attach ourselves to. So we just live with this baseline guilt about not loving him enough. So as we begin 2018, we want to stop and think today about what we want to be on about as a church. And by extension, what each of us as members who make up this church want to be on about in our lives. We don't want to waste this year that God has placed before us. But we want to use it in such a way that it'll actually have this vision, it'll actually shape our lives, not just be words on paper or some theoretical thing we affirm. So my aim today is to convince both you and your families to live intentionally towards our vision as a church, towards that of seeing everyone conform to the likeness of Christ through making and growing disciples. I want to place before you a purpose far greater than just rolling through the Sundays and the days of our week so we end up at Christmas with not much to show for it. I want to encourage you to live intentionally today with the purpose of proclaiming Jesus and seeing people become fully mature in him. So the first reason I want to encourage you to live intentionally today is that Jesus had a very clear purpose for his life. As Holly just read for us out of the book of Mark, Jesus has worked into the night healing people and driving out demons. Early in the morning, he gets up and he goes off to find a quiet place to pray. His disciples come looking for him. They say, Jesus, people are looking for you. There's work to be done. There's people to heal, there's demons to drive out, there's good stuff that needs to be done. But as you look at our reading in Mark, Jesus does something that's a bit surprising to us, doesn't he? He says this. Jesus replies, verse 38, "Let us go somewhere else, to the nearby villages, so that I can preach there also. That is why I have come." So he travelled throughout Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and driving out demons. Jesus was very deliberate with his priorities. He knew what he had come here on earth to do. Throughout his ministry, as you read it, there's lots of different people have lots of different ideas about what Jesus should be doing with his life and with his time. But Jesus is clear about what's important in terms of his priority. He says, "Let us go somewhere else, that I might preach there also, because that is why I have come." Jesus came to proclaim the good news of his kingdom. He lived intentionally so that by the way he lived, died and rose again, he made it possible for broken and sinful people like us to freely enter into his kingdom. He lived for that purpose. Everything about his life was for that task. And our present and eternity is different because of it. As a collection of individuals and families that make up this church, we also have people that have expectations on what we should do with our time. Like our Saviour, we need a clear understanding of what we are here on earth to do so that we're not swallowed up by life. That way we can live intentionally and deliberately towards what God has planned for us in this community, in this church. So we live intentionally because Jesus was deliberate about what he came here to do. Number two, reason I want to encourage you to live intentionally is because Paul lived intentionally for a very similar vision, or the same vision, actually. We see that in Colossians 1. Paul's purpose was for everyone to be fully mature in Christ. With all the energy Paul can muster, he's going to pursue this vision. If you flip to Colossians chapter 1, verses 28 and 29, this is exactly what we see as a result of the gospel that's been at work in Paul's life. This is what he says. He says, "He, being Jesus, is the one we proclaim, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we might present everyone fully mature in Christ. To this end, I strenuously contend with all the energy that Christ so powerfully works in me." Paul's not just rolling through Sunday deadlines or midweek deadlines and keeping people happy. He has a very clear purpose about what he is here for: to proclaim, teach, and admonish, so that everyone might be fully mature in Christ. Or in the words of our vision and mission from Romans chapter 8, everyone be conformed to the likeness of Christ. There are no exceptions to those whom Paul wants to see be fully conformed to the likeness of Christ. It's not that Paul wants to bring people to the stage of conversion and just leave them there. It's also not that Paul just wants to bring to maturity those who are already Christians. Whether it's a four-year-old sitting in our church today, or the people living at 7 Denison Street, or the non-Christian kid in your class at Calvin, or someone who's been sitting in the pews of church for more than 60 years, Paul's purpose for them is the same: that they would become fully mature in Christ. Now, there's actually no indication in this passage that those results come easily for Paul. Paul's not just rolling through deadlines. He's deliberately straining with all the energy that he has towards this task. And that's the energy that Christ is giving him himself. As I listen to this passage, I have this image of a toiling fast bowler. The sun is scorching hot and the pitch is flat. As he walks back to the end of his mark, the sweat is pouring off his head. But then he turns around and he charges in again with all the energy he can muster so that he can burst through the defenses of the batsman. The effort is his, but it comes from a place that is deeper than himself. He toils and he strives because he's part of a team, and he's spurred on and egged on by his teammate. It gives him part of the energy he needs to do his job. And we see the similar thing with the Apostle Paul, where he would very clearly be willing to have his face bathed in sweat for this purpose that he has before him. But he's not gaining his energy from himself alone or even from his fellow gospel workers. But it's Jesus Christ who is powerfully working in him to will and to act according to his purposes. And it's ultimately going to be Jesus by his Spirit that's going to see Paul's toil and hard labor bear fruit for the gospel. So our second reason to live intentionally is because Paul's purpose was the same as ours, to see people become fully mature in Christ. Our third reason to live intentionally is because we are launching some new things this year deliberately because of our vision and mission. Our church vision, as I've said already, is that everyone would be conformed to the likeness of Christ by making and growing disciples. And that sets our purpose for all the things that we do as a church. 3 years ago, just before I started, at the beginning of 2015, our leaders got together and prayerfully set a target of 500 mature believers by 2020. With related aims of meeting together in two congregations, of having a growing staff team, and ultimately having everyone in our church involved with that process. That is what we are planning, praying, and striving towards as a church community. And therefore, it makes sense that we think about where these disciples are going to come from and how we're going to help them grow to maturity. So let's first look at some of the things we're doing with the aim of reaching particular people. At a session last year, we gathered together at our retreat and started to think deliberately about what particular people are we uniquely positioned to target here as a church. And we came up with a few specific groups. First, Calvin, particularly the non-Christian parents and students at the Calvin School. Not only is it right next door to us, but through our parents and students and teachers and staff who are working in that community, we have a whole lot of existing relationships with this particular group of people. We have people associated with our church primarily because of relationships that started at Calvin. This year we want to be more deliberate about how we go about doing that as a church. Number two, we've marked out a specific area around this church within a 10-minute walk or a 5-minute drive that encompasses 740-odd houses that we are uniquely positioned to reach as a church because we are the closest church to those people around us. One of the things we're going to do this year is divide the map up amongst our CGs so that they can adopt a street or a portion of where we're aiming for as a vision. Again, we want to be very deliberate about trying to reach the community around us that God has put around us this year. Number three, English as a second language or ESL. The Kingston area has this increasing number of people who don't have English as their first spoken language. God seems to be bringing these people into our community, and that gives us a great opportunity to be able to start relationships with these people based on friendship and reading the Bible together, to be able to start training them in using the English language. And so if you have skills or interest in that area, please let us know. We'd like to start thinking through what that looked like to get started. And then finally and excitingly, our session has been doing some thinking and some consultation, very deliberately thinking about this building and what we might be able to do with it to specifically target our vision, our mission, and what we're trying to achieve. Not going to give anything away this morning, but just to say in about 6 weeks' time, we're actually going to launch that to you, some very exciting plans we have for the next 10 and 20 years of what we want to do in ministry here in this building. And so please look forward to taking part in that as a church. So they're the things we're doing to make disciples, but also want to do some things deliberately to grow disciples to full maturity. And so there's a few things we'd like to target this year with that as well. The first of these is helping you become more comfortable in reading and using the Bible yourselves and amongst one another. Now, one of the things I really appreciate about this church is that you love God's Word and you expect it to be taught and to be taught well here on Sunday mornings. I'm also very encouraged by the increasing number of people that are signing up to join small groups and Bible study groups so that you can study God's Word throughout the week. But as us as leaders gather together and we pray for our community, one of the areas we think we can grow is helping you feel comfortable in opening and handling God's Word yourself and with one another. And so we're going to be very deliberate this year working towards those ends as well. And there's a few ways we want to do that. One, we want to be a bit more transparent in our preaching in terms of how we are arriving at our ideas and the things we're coming to. So as we preach through Exodus and 1 Timothy, we want to be clear about how we're using the Bible and how that's shaping us. Number two, if you have bulletins today, you'll notice that we've included a Bible reading to do this week. Each week we're going to set a Bible reading to do as individuals or families that you can do together around the dinner table and read in preparation for the upcoming week. And number three, we want to provide additional training in one-to-one discipleship and the simple discipleship method we do when we Bible read together. So we're going to offer opportunities for people to be able to do that and be trained in that and equipped in that as well. A second area we want to help people grow in is dealing with busyness. We're fully aware that the pressures on our time and our calendars are one of the difficulties we face as a community, and so we want to think through that. Later on this year, we're going to deliberately do a sermon series on busyness, but I also want to look at church camp about some of the practical aspects of living and how we can work through some of these ideas, so please come along to church camp and be part of that as well. And then finally, as part of growing disciples, we want to be deliberate about raising up new leaders. As you've already seen here this morning, we have the privilege this year of seeing God answer our prayers to raise up harvest workers, with Marty and Dave doing their MTS. And we want to be very deliberate as a church about that and invest in them as future gospel workers. So with 2 years remaining on our vision and mission that we set in 2015, our target under God of having 500 mature disciples is as bold a vision now as what it was back then. But as we look around Kingston and those who are lost and the urgent gospel need, we are still committed to that goal because we see it as urgent and as vital. And I think one thing to really encourage us as we look at that is to see that God has actually already answered some of our prayers for this vision. Since I've begun here, we have added Julia and Sim and Dave and Marty to our staff team. That has increased dramatically. And by the middle of this year in June, when we add Graham as well, I am convinced that we have the staff team and staff here necessary to lead a church of 500 people, to teach, admonish, and encourage each of you to live in our world and make and grow disciples for the glory of God. And so we can be very thankful that God has answered that request already. So finally this morning, I want to encourage you both as individuals and as families to live intentionally towards the vision of our church. Our church vision is actually only as effective as the people in our church. It's not a vision that is carried by the leaders alone, but by this gathered community. I want to encourage you to live that out, because if you don't, it will just be meaningless words on a piece of paper. My goal for this year is this: that we would live intentionally to proclaim Jesus and work to see everyone become fully mature in Christ, in line with Colossians chapter 1, verse 28 and 29. Now, we know from the rest of our lives that it's very easy and very natural for us to work deliberately towards specific purposes that we have. If we want to go on a good big family holiday, if we want to renovate a bathroom, we look at our finances and we plan and we save accordingly and we work towards that aim. If we want to get healthy and get fit, we work out our weekly diet and we schedule times for exercise so that we are striving towards that goal. If you want good grades at school or at uni, you shut down Facebook and you turn off TV and you go and you study so that you can work towards what you want to achieve. If you're a member of this church and you're convinced that the vision that our elders have placed before you is indeed a biblical vision, then like Paul, that is something worth strenuously contending for and prioritizing in your lives. I'm not necessarily asking to put more on your plate. I know that for many of you, your plates are already full. But what I am asking you to do is to not live your life without having clear priorities. Don't get swallowed up by taking care of the house and meeting deadlines and keeping people happy and not actually have the chance to be on about the things you really want to be on about. And I want to encourage you to have this vision as a church be part of what you are on about as an individual or a family, to proclaim Jesus and to see people become fully mature in Him. That will give you the freedom to actually plan your life in a whole heap of different ways accordingly instead of just feeling overwhelmed. It is going to take a whole church to achieve this vision. No one can do that on their own, and nor should they have to. Like our children's skit earlier today, each of us can do one or two or three things towards this vision. None of us can do all of them, and you don't have to carry that burden. There are 300 or so people in this room that each have a role to play in us achieving or completing the purposes that God has placed before this church community. We each have a part to play. And so I just want to finish to get you thinking about what your part might look like, some of the ways that you could live deliberately just in the areas alone that we're going to launch this year. Take Calvin, for example. If you're one of the parents, students, teachers, or staff workers at Calvin, choose one or two people from each year that you're associated with and deliberately pray for them. Find excuses to go and talk to them as you line up in the school pickup line, or as you cook olive oil next to each other, or as you watch the swimming carnival. If you're going out for coffee with members of this church, invite one of your Calvin friends along to join you. Kids, invite your friends to come sleep over on Friday night so that you can take your friends along to Morph with you. When your friends come over and visit, make that the night that you do your family Bible readings together. When your friends start asking you about who Jesus is and why you believe in him, bring them along to Christianity Explored and go along with them. Now, these are all just ideas, and there's plenty others as well. But I just want to show you what is possible and actually manageable in your life if you're prepared to live deliberately. Same thing goes with our target area. If you're someone who lives in our target area, you're one of those 740-odd houses, and there's a number of us that are, or pray for your street as you walk up and down it. Find excuses to say hello to your neighbours. Talk to them about their puppy or their baby or their garden or something like that to build relationship with them. Find out which CG it is that is partnered with your street and work with them so that you can reach it. Be their spotters. If someone new moves into the area, well, then let them know so someone can go visit them and tell them about this Christian community we have here and invite them along. CGs can be deliberate in very similar ways. Take the English as a second language stuff. If you have skills in working with people who don't speak with English as their first language, put your hand up to get involved. Once we get something up and running, find excuses to invite people with broken English along to join in this conversation stuff and to have this opportunity. When it comes to family Bible readings, or individual Bible reading, set out one or two nights a week to sit down and to read through the passages for the week. You'll notice in your bulletin next week's passage is Exodus chapter 1 and 2. It's very manageable to do in one or two evenings. Now, kids, you may need to remind your parents about this because they're likely to forget. So if you remind them, these things might actually happen. You might be able to volunteer to help our church by writing one or two focus questions that families and individuals could talk about as they read these passages together. You might be able to talk to your friends at your small group or something like that and just say, look, how are you going with these readings, and encourage one another that way. There's a number of different ways you can do that intentionally. When it comes to one-to-one Bible reading, just give it a go. Find a friend and sign up to read the Bible together. If you don't know who to sign up with, have a chat to Baz. He's our elder for one-to-ones, or one of the staff members, and we'll work our best to tee that up for you. Sign up and go to one of the training sessions that we have so that you can learn how to do it. Now, if you're someone who's experienced in doing that, perhaps take a break for a few months of meeting together and each train up someone else to be able to do that so that more people can take part. There's a number of different things, again, that you can do if you want to do it on purpose. Raising up leaders, pray for Dave and Marty. Find ways to constructively encourage them as they work and as they try out new things. Be patient with them. Some things they'll do naturally very well to begin with, and other things are going to take some time to grow. You can even prayerfully consider, like Keith mentioned earlier, whether you can partner with them and take part in some of their scholarship costs and help be part of that as a church as well. Speaking of giving, it's actually part of this is to think through very deliberately about your giving and how you can do that generously and intentionally and deliberately towards different things. Now, no one can give to every single cause that comes up, and again, you don't have to feel guilty for not being able to do it all. But you can set aside some time to sit down and think about it, so you can work out what you can contribute to the work of our church. And then you can pick one or two or three mission or ministry partners that you deliberately want to partner with for the sake of the gospel. So what would it look like for you and for your family to live intentionally, to proclaim Jesus, and to see people become fully mature in Him? These things have just been a taster to get you thinking about what that might look like given your circumstances or the particular ministries you're part of, whether that's part of music on a Sunday morning or cadets or meeting your neighbours in your street. What does it look like to proclaim Jesus and to see people become fully mature in Him? And the possibilities for that are almost endless, for serving and praying and giving and encouraging and all those sort of things. We want to encourage you to be prepared to think deliberately about it. And as part of that this year, from time to time, we're going to invite people up the front just to talk about how they're living deliberately in a specific area, just to spur you on and to give you a look at what it might look like for you in your context. Paul was so convinced about the need to see everyone become fully mature in Christ that he was willing to sweat and strenuously contend for that goal. As leaders, we want you to capture the vision of CRCK in a meaningful and practical way, not just as a paper thing or words on paper, even just a theoretical thing that you think is a good idea. We want you to be able to live intentionally as part of the work of this church and all its individual members. Now, that's not going to happen unless you're prayerful and deliberate about what you want to be on about as individuals and families. The Lord we serve is amazing. His love is life-changing. And the need to both make and grow disciples is urgent. So this year, I want to encourage you to live for that purpose, to proclaim Jesus and to present everyone fully mature in Him, that Christ may be glorified in our time and in our location, because that's what He deserves. Amen. Let me pray. Father, we thank You that You sent Your Son to earth to be our Saviour, and that He was completely clear on what He came to do, because that has changed both our present and our eternity. Father, we thank You for the example of Paul as he strenuously strives to both proclaim Jesus and see people become fully mature in Him. Please speak to each of us by Your Spirit. Spur us on in the same way that You spurred Paul on, that we may play our role, that people may come to faith, that we may mature in our faith, and that You may be glorified and Your kingdom advanced. Amen.